The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Believe You Me podcast. Hope you're all well. Of course, Anthony Lionheart-Smith has an absolutely gigantic fight this weekend, so he will not be joining on the show. Before we get started, though, we're just going to say big happy birthday to one Brian McKay. It was his birthday. When was it? And he never even mentioned it.
Oh, last Thursday when we recorded. I completely forgot.
Well, I felt bad because, you know, Anthony's getting all the fuss. You know, we're talking about his birthday. We're talking about his fight. And little old Brian sitting there, you know, not making a big deal out of it. God bless you.
Well, Anthony's important, you know.
Well, he is. And he's got a big fight coming up this weekend. And I'm very excited for it. And I'm also very, very nervous. Obviously, you know, when Lewis left the show, we tried a bunch of different co-hosts out and things like that. And as I'm sure, I think I can speak on behalf of all of us, Harrington, and all the believers, that Anthony Smith was such a perfect choice because he's the man's awesome. I got so much respect for him. I love the way he fights. I love his attitude. He's so humble, so down to earth. And yeah, a little bit nervous about this fight this weekend though, Harrington.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. He was a favorite guest of mine. Like whenever Anthony would come on and shoot the shit, it was just the best. So yeah, I mean, obviously having him in the co-host role has been a dream. Now though, like it's so fun for me. I woke up this morning, had my morning coffee, and I watched like his press interview, just talking about Uncle Live. I think it was on the Mac Life channel, and it was just the first thing up on my YouTube feed. And I'm like, I was getting fired up just talking to my girlfriend about how much Anthony Smith is gonna, like, there's no doubt in my mind he is winning this fight in stunning fashion. And he does. I think he is going to have the best claim for a title shot after Saturday night.
Well, it's not going to be easy. Magomed Ankalaev, and by the way, 100% fully expect Anthony to come through. As I said to his face many times, he seemed like reborn. When he fought Ryan Spann, and he said he did have a mental shift. When he fought Ryan Spann, I was there. I called the fight. He was absolutely terrifying. But I'm looking at Magomed Ankalaev now, record of 17-1. 17-1, okay? And that one loss is a loss to Paul Craig. Paul Craig, where he was absolutely dominating the fight, let's be honest, and Paul Craig is always in the fight, always dangerous, and he slapped a triangle on with 1 second left in the fight. So other than that, the man's undefeated on a 8 fight win streak. Last time beat Thiago Santos. Before that, title challenger Volkanovski, Nikita Krylov, Iwan Kutalaba twice in a row. Dalcha Languyambula struggled on that one there for a second. So, yeah, man, tough fight. But I love how confident Anthony is coming into this one. And I am so excited. That, for me, is by far the main event. Cannot fucking wait. We're going to break that stuff down in a little bit, though, because I've got to say, Harrington, great job on the notes today. Did a fantastic job. Some nice stuff in there. If, like me, you're fucked off with Instagram lately, okay, then you're not alone. It's just changed. The platform has changed. They're competing with TikTok. They're competing with Snapchat. They're trying to appeal to a younger demographic, but I don't like it. But I was sitting there at home yesterday, Harrington, and I'll allow you to take the baton, as it were. It was being reported on the news. I am not the only one. There's a lot of people pushing back. But go on, Harrington, break it down.
Yeah, I mean, it's being reported in The Guardian pretty much everywhere. I don't know if you saw earlier this week, the Kardashians came out and joined the movement. Oh. Essentially, everybody...
Oh, if the Kardashians came out, then fucking hell, Jesus.
So everybody's been posting on their Instagram story, make Instagram Instagram again, right? Stop trying to be TikTok. You know, if you remember in the past, like Snapchat came out with stories with the filters, and within 2-3 months, Instagram had the same thing, and they seamlessly blended a new technology into what they were already doing. With their change to the algorithm, showing you random people and videos you weren't expecting to see, people are getting frustrated with the technology, just not being able to see their friends and the people they want to see on Instagram.
Well, that's exactly the issue. And it's kind of my issue with Facebook as well, because I use Facebook, you know, my personal account to stay in touch with all my old friends back home, including our friends and family, things like that. And I think essentially that's what Facebook is for. Instagram, when I go to it these days, it's very rare that I stumble across people that I follow, people that I care about, and get to see what they're doing. Number one, it's a bunch of like random accounts. It's random people. It's people taking their TikTok videos and posting them on Instagram. And it's just a lot of sponsored content. And it doesn't resemble the app that I did used to use far, far, far too much. So I'll be honest. Whilst it is a little frustrating for me, I love it. I think it's a great thing because I was on social media far too much. I think we're all guilty of that a little bit. To be fair, it is 2022 and it's, you know, integrated into modern society. You know, it's just a way of life these days. But yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't like it. I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to compete with TikTok. But let TikTok be TikTok and let Instagram be Instagram. But if they continue doing what they're doing, that's all good by me. Because as I say, I waste less time on that.
So you're saying that the new format is actively pushing you away from social media. It's not like you're not falling into the trap, because I've noticed it's made me spend significantly more time on there because TikTok is addicting. Like the random videos, the stuff you find, it drags
not
me
on
in.
TikTok at all. I signed into an account. Somebody tried. I watched something yesterday. It sent me to a link which was on TikTok. I had to log in. I'm not even logged in. So no, I'm not on TikTok. Don't want to be. Oh, I do hear a lot of people make a lot of money on TikTok. So that could pull me into the fray. Let's be honest.
I was gonna say.
Go on.
We are now posting BYM. We're gonna start posting BYM clips on TikTok.
Oh, well, go ahead. I won't see them. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of shit on social media that I don't see.
Yeah, don't put your chocolate in my peanut butter, bro.
Would you care to elaborate that?
We already have Instagram and we have TikTok. We don't need them to be the same thing, you know?
100%. And I think that's everybody's issue. But anyway, who cares? There's a lot of great things in the notes in terms of mixed martial arts. Throw some of the news at me. What's the top news story in your opinion? But let's talk about this referee, Harrington. Break that one down. The referee, oh no, the promoter that stepped in and stopped a fight because it was too boring.
Right. So, Brian, if you want to pull up the video, the promoter of ACA, in the middle of a round, was like, you know, we've seen enough. These guys.
Where is ACA?
Russia.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Да, и вот сейчас признал несостоявшимся этот поединок Майрбек Хасиев.
That's it. That's the extent. I mean, I don't blame them because it's going to affect your product. You know, the thing is, you know, Ian Freeman, do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Ian Freeman, UK MMA legend and pioneer, fought in the UFC way back when, you know, like 34 and stuff like that. He's a promoter now. I actually got my start in mixed martial arts on one of his shows. He's always posting, you know, frustration with people, you know, fighters that want to fight, but then they're always pulling out. The reality, the sport's getting very, 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 very popular worldwide and everybody wants to be involved, but it's not for everyone. And then they show up and they don't fight, or they don't show up for the fight, or they don't show up on weight. They don't show up in shape. You're supposed to fight. And I don't blame that promoter. You got two guys in there. They're refusing to engage. That's going to affect his brand. All the money that he's put in. He's like, you know what? Stop. Fuck this. They don't get the platform. Let's put another fight on that perhaps will entertain the crowd and therefore protect the company that he's built up. But Dana White, there's a segue here, isn't there, Harrington?
Yeah, so Dana White was pretty displeased with Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series this week. And in the press conference after, when the media was talking to him, they asked him if he had seen it. He said he hadn't. When they explained that the promoter stepped in, he said, wow. You know, that's awesome. It's unprofessional, but it's pretty awesome. And I might think about doing that if we have a lackluster contender series next week.
Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, I did watch the contender series and I kind of understand what he's saying. I don't want to sit here and berate people's performances, you know, but when you're on the contender series and the opening fight or the opening first couple of fights, they were a little lackluster. You know, if you're a young fighter and you want to be a fighter, you want to have a future in the UFC. If you get a chance to be on the contender, Dana White is sitting there watching with Hunter Campbell, Mick Maynard, Sean Shelby, all the people that you've got to impress. Dana White is sitting there with the keys to the universe for you. Do you know what I mean? That's your shot. Go for it. Why are you being timid? I understand you want to win, but the contender series is about electrifying the audiences, making Dana White get out of his chair. And they were pedestrian performances. They were playing it very, very safe. Although I got to say, I would be absolutely heartbroken as a fighter. If Dana White walked in the middle of a massive arena, 20,000 people, he's like, no, bro, no, fuck this. Get out. I mean, you would never, ever live that shame down.
Yeah, we got better fights on this prelim to get to. Get out of here, guys.
Yeah. Well, that's how it is, though. Go on.
Well, I was going to ask you, though, because you are somebody who's been in that situation, right? Fighting for a spot in the UFC on the Ultimate Fighter. Like, I saw you did the roundtable, you know, with a lot of the other tough winners, and that was really cool. But, I mean, what to you stands out from that, right? Like, having your back against the wall, you're not even in the promotion yet. What was that like stepping into the cage on the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, good question. And it's funny that you say that or ask that, because I did say that to my wife the other day. We were both watching The Contender. And it was lackluster. You know, that's the word that I'll use. I don't want to disrespect them because I understand that fighters put a lot on the line. You know, I can understand Dana's frustration. It's the opening fight of the season. The first fight of the season, they've been promoting it. There's a lot of work goes into that. And then the guys don't deliver. They know they're supposed to deliver. So to answer your question, I said, Jesus Christ. I mean, liken that to when I was on The Ultimate Fighter. Do you know what I mean? You've got to take risks. You've got to be exciting. You've got to go for it. You want to win, you know? So I understand maybe the pressure of the situation got to them a little bit, but obviously they're not cut out for this sport. And not everybody is. Yeah, you might be an athlete. Yeah, you might do martial arts. You can be a great martial artist. Being a great fighter and a great martial artist, the two on, you know, they don't go hand in hand. Just because you're a great martial artist, you could be the best black belt on planet Earth. You could have the most impressive kicking game that anyone's ever seen. You could understand boxing and jiu-jitsu like nothing else, but be an absolute goddamn pussy if confronted by somebody. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't want to fight. And I'm not saying that's a negative thing. Not everyone's built for that. Not everyone has that mindset where they want to go to war, where they're willing to endure hell, where they're willing to put their life on the line. You know what I mean? And that's not a bad thing. That's not an insult. But you should maybe have that realization before you get to somewhere like Dana White's Contender Series and waste everyone's time. Anyway, let's get off that before I get fired because I'm commentating that next week. And I'm sure. But I'll tell you what, it ended great though. Joey Pyfer, he was in the featured bout from Philadelphia. He had a great performance. I think it was the first round or second round stoppage. Great performance, great fight. Congrats to him. And that kind of saved the show.
Hell yeah. And that is like, you know, I mean, this is actually valuable advice for the people you're going to be seeing this weekend, right? Win or lose, put on a show, right? Go out, yeah. You know, come back with your shield or on it. Meet, you know, that is pretty cool stuff. All right.
So you got lots of non-MMA stuff in here. I'm kind of intrigued by an English mathematician has developed a minute-by-minute breakdown of the optimal morning routine. First of all, Harrington, what is your morning routine?
My morning routine, I wake up about 10 a.m., have a cup of coffee with my girlfriend.
10 a.m.
Dude, that is early for me. Like it was noon. Now it's 10, yeah.
Why? What are you doing at night?
To be fair, Mike, we work very late usually, so... Like 3 or 4 a.m. is when our day ends.
Yeah, but you are never intoxicated, you know. I'm up at 6:30 every single day, Hamilton, you lazy sod. But go on, what's your routine? You get up, you have your coffee, you stare at the TV for a little bit, you check your emails, you maybe go on social media, you look at some TikTok dances like that, you go to Instagram, you say, this is a load of fucking shit. Let's have a look on Snapchat. I don't have Snapchat either. You go on Twitter and you go, fuck, shit, I've got work to do. Get out of bed and rush to the office.
Well, what's fun is my work is social media at this point, right? Like it's checking to make sure that my shows for my comedy club are posted, that, you know, all like, you know, everybody was tagged correctly, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, like it just is a daily checklist to me to make sure that everything is going good with every show that I work on and everything is going good with the business that I'm running. So.
Yeah. And that's what I say as well, because sometimes I look at my screen time and it's horrendous. I mean, it is a lot, but as I say, you know, well, sorry, as you say, same thing. I'm often studying or researching fights on my phone on Fight Pass, or sometimes they're not on Fight Pass, so I'm looking at shitty websites. Sometimes I'm just looking at Twitter or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Just shooting the shit. But a lot of the time it's work and research. But go on. How the fuck do you make a mathematical algorithm for the perfect morning workout?
So Special K Crunchy Oat Granola paid for this study, and, you know, essentially it found after surveying 2,000 residents of the United Kingdom, if you wake up at 6:44 a.m., that's the perfect time to get up.
It's about the time I get up, to be fair. My wife gets up at 6:30. She makes the coffee, puts it by my side. I'm good. And then I get, your coffee's going cold. So it's about 6:44. Go on.
All right. Spend about 10 minutes in the shower.
Nope.
18, no. No? You don't do the shower first?
I do a run. I work out first.
Smart. This saying shower first, 18 minutes eating breakfast, followed by 21 minutes of exercise.
Well, this is just nonsense. Special K have paid for this. Okay.
Yes.
That's roughly what people do. You get out of bed, you have a coffee, you have some food, you maybe have a shower. Hopefully you do. I work out. No. See, this mathematician's already fucked up. So you're gonna have a shower for 10 minutes. By the way, that's a long shower. That's like a shower that Lucas and Ellie has. They have the hot water going for a long time in this house. I'm like, fucking, what are you doing? Get out the shower. But then you're gonna get out of the shower. You're gonna eat Special K, which, by the way, does not make you slim. All right. If you're trying to lose weight, do not eat Special K. My mom was always on a diet when I was a kid, always eating the Special K, right? Don't eat
with the red berries.
Yeah. But again, more sugar, carbs galore. You don't need it. You don't want it. But then after your 10 minute shower, after having Special K carbohydrate breakfast, then you're going to work out for 21 minutes. That doesn't make sense because you're going to work out on a full stomach and you're going to need another shower. Fire the mathematician.
So what he did was he basically just broke down, you know, using math, like how much time is spent on this, on this, on this. And you know, you can go through and plug in your own calculations into here. But yeah. Brian, if you want to bring up the graphic.
I'm losing faith and confidence in this guy. Listen, maybe the times have worked out perfect, but the order is ridiculous. You get out, you work out, you shower, then you have some food. What is this?
So I think maybe they just organized it that way for the math equation side of things. You know what I mean?
I hate this guy and I hate this topic and I hate that we're talking about it. So we're getting off that real quick. Juliana Pena says that she caught Amanda Nunes spying on a training camp ahead of their rematch this weekend. Pray tell, Harrington.
So here's the quote from Juliana Pena. I remember catching her in the van outside of my practice, like peering through the windows. It was a long time before we finally realized that we were being spied on. We were like, hey, and they turned the lights on. They backed the van in reverse and they sped away. I intrigue her. I obviously got to her. She's thinking about me. And I think that's probably what makes her tick. Just me in general, I think is enough to make her tick.
Well, I mean, of course, Pena is going to say things like that. And God bless her. She's, you know, going to. You say whatever you want to make you feel good, to make you feel confident. I mean, she's looking at that thinking Juliana's spying on her because she's so intrigued and wants to see how she's training and all the rest of it. Amanda Nunes has been around the sport for a very, very long time. She's reached dizzying heights, a two-weight division champion, the pound-for-pound number one female fighter on the planet at one point, apparently, you know, according to a lot of people. Having a quick peer through the window isn't going to give you anything. Do you know what I mean? I've coached the Ultimate Fighter twice. Sometimes you're just genuinely curious. What are they doing in there? Do you know what I mean? You're not spying on the fucking training or on the camp. You're just being nosy. Do you know what I mean? You just want to see what they're doing or whatever it is. I mean, I understand Pena's, she's got to do what she's got to do. She's hyping herself up. She's trying to mentally and emotionally put her down, take Nunes off her pedestal, because that's what you got to do. That's what I did when I fought Anderson Silva. But to think that she's spying, no one's spying. What were they doing? Were they doing jiu-jitsu? Yeah, yeah. What, with wrestling first to take them down, to get them to the floor? Yes. Before they attempted the takedown, were they throwing a few kicks and punches? Oh, my God. Were you there? And then it's like, did they do like loads of rounds and kicking the bag and like conditioning and stuff like that? So their cardio is really good. It's like, yeah, there's no secrets. And having a peer through the window, I mean, God bless her. I like Juliana. I like her a lot. But they always come out with that shit, don't they, all these fighters? Rampage and John Jones, apparently there was a spy in the camp there. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I don't think there was any spying.
You don't think there's anything you can glean off of that? I mean, you know, you said yourself, you did The Ultimate Fighter. Like, if you did take that peek in, did that ever do anything for you as far as affecting a game plan, or at the very least, giving you a little bit more confidence that you were working harder?
No. There could be a multitude of reasons why you're having a peek through. You could be just looking at them, mocking them, you know, looking at them, laughing at them, going, look at these dickheads. They don't know what they're doing. Look at them. Hey, John, have a look at this. Look how they're doing. The training. Like it's 2007. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't think there was. She's looking through the window. Maybe she was looking to see if she left the phone on the floor. You know what I mean? Her car keys, her bag. It's like, shit, where's my gum shield? Do you know what I mean? There could be any kind of reason. Or maybe she thought, fucking Juliana's got a nice ass and she's looking through. You know what I mean? The woman's gay. Maybe she's taking a little, have a little perv. You never know. I'm not saying that she's cheating on her wife.
Looking ain't cheating, Michael.
No, exactly. But no, that's a non-starter, but God bless her. All right, real quick, I want to talk about FitBod. Look, listen, summer's here. If you go into the beach, you want to feel good, you want to look good. But more important than vanity is your health. Your body is the finest instrument that you'll ever own. So working out not only is good for you, but it feels great afterwards. You get the release of endorphins. But the world is changing. Technology is making everything easy, whether it's Google Maps, whether it's smartphones, Bluetooth speakers, or whatever it is. No more old-fashioned wires getting tangled up. Everything's going, you know, modern. So when you work out, you want to work out in a modern way, and that is what FitBod offers. It is a smart workout app which creates custom dynamic programs based on your goals, experience, and equipment. Their algorithm uses data and analytics for your best next workout, so you get the maximum results. Every workout is scientifically proven to be better than the last. And FitBod tracks your recovery and varies up your routine so you avoid overtraining. You can see your muscle usage. You can see your recovery, your achievements, and workout streaks right there at the touch of a button in the app. And more importantly, you know, you haven't got to go to the gym or work out at home and try and figure out what to do. That's part of the problem. Sometimes it's the mundane. You don't know what to do unless you're a fitness instructor, unless you've dedicated your entire life. Well, now that doesn't matter, because FitBod will give you fun, new, dynamic, very useful, very good, effective workouts at the touch of a button, okay? So no more going there and having it all guesswork, okay? It's like having a personal trainer, okay? It's like having a personal trainer, but for way, way cheaper. And the app is super easy to use. It has HD video tutorials that make learning the new exercise an absolute breeze. Also integrates with all your smart devices like your Apple Watch and all that good stuff, Apple Health, Fitbit, Strava. And for less than the cost of one session with a personal trainer, you can get a full year of personalized workouts, especially catered just for you with FitBod. Crush your summer goals and personalized workouts with FitBod that improve as you do. Right now, you can get 25% off your subscription, or you can try out the app for free when you sign up now at fitbod.me/believe. 25% off. That's a quarter if you didn't know. Great deal. And this app, by the way, I love it. I'm always on the road. I use FitBod all the time. It's, you know, gives me something new. Obviously, sometimes when you're on the road and you're in hotels, equipment is limited. FitBod helps you out. It gives you ideas. It inspires you and makes you get my fat ass on the road and doing some work. So one more time, go to fitbod.me/believe and you will get 25% off your subscription. I do like number two. Number two is a big, big rule change that I think should have happened a very, very long time ago. Just give us the headlines and I'll break it down.
Well, you talked about it on the show not too long ago. The idea that the groin strike gets 5 minutes, the eye poke, you know, it I think it was a minute or something like that, or there was no clearly
there's no time. There's no time limit. It's just, are you okay? Can you see? If not, then the doctor comes in, takes a look, makes a decision. And if you can't continue, if you're struggling with your eye, if it's kind of spasming out, if your eyelids being weird, or if your vision's blurry and it might come back, the ruling is the doctor has to just say, all right, well, that's it. You cannot continue.
Well, apparently not anymore. There is a new ruling by the ACA, the governing body. They are going to give that same 5 minutes for groin strikes to eye pokes.
Yeah, and that's fantastic because it should. I mean, I said on the show recently, so I'll skim over it quickly. It's from boxing. You can't really poke somebody in the eye the same way that you can in mixed martial arts if you're wearing a boxing glove. You know what I mean? Yes, the thumb can go in. So it's like, you know, if you've got an eye injury from a boxing glove, it's because maybe there's a detached retina or something very, very serious. If you get an eye poke, you should be given 5 minutes. If you get kicked in the bloody groin, you got 5 minutes. 5 minutes, things could be okay. The amount of fights that have been stopped prematurely, the amount of fighters that have argued and fought back, or the amount of fighters that have said, hold on, I can't see right now. And then they go, right, that's it. That's it. If you give them 5 minutes, then in a lot of cases, I feel like the vision would be restored and it would come back. You know, certainly if you can, oh, who's that? Donald Cerrone and Matt Brown.
There's no way that doesn't deserve 5 minutes.
Hold on a minute. Is that one finger or two?
That's one finger all the way up to the middle knuckle. That's brutal.
Oh, that's bad. That is a bad one. Must have worse been poked in the eye, Harrington.
Nothing definitely passed the fingernail.
One time I was in school and I bent down and there was like a pencil on the desk or something. And the pencil went under my eye like that thing. I fucking flipped out and pulled it out, but it was just right underneath. And it was one of the scariest things that's ever happened.
Yeah, yeah. No. Obviously, I'm hypersensitive to eye injuries. You know, having only one, I want to defend it or look after it or protect it. There's the word I was looking for. Like if I'm on a run, a lot of the time, you know, there's a tree and there's a branch. You know, sometimes you got to run through them or dip your head. I always close my eye. Do you know, because could you imagine just like a little fucking branch, a little slit or a slash, and then, you know, I can't see anything, Harrington. I would be blind. And I don't want that. Anyway, what's going on with this Australian artist?
So this is an artist in Australia, was in a gallery, right? In an art gallery where they were showcasing his work. He had a McDonald's hamburger, took the pickle off, threw the pickle against the ceiling, and he is now charging $6,200 for this art installation.
And that's it?
Art.
That is it.
A pickle? Is it on the ceiling?
It is on the ceiling of an art gallery.
And how much? $6,200?
$6,200. And you want to hear the kicker, Mike? Don't even get that pickle.
Oh, well, you get one of a fucking 99-cent hamburger?
You get step-by-step instructions on how to recreate the art installation yourself.
Oh, my. The world's gone mental. The world's gone mental. Listen, NFTs are cool. You know what I mean? There's a lot of cool NFTs out there. There's also a lot of shit. There's also a lot of absolute utter garbage that should not be sold, that should not be bought, that should not be paid for or displayed, okay? There's some great NFT stuff. Certainly the UFC Strike stuff are amazing. The Block Acid guys did a Legends collection. There's some really, really cool pieces you can own, like, you know, real art or modern-day baseball cards, right? But that is an example of the shit that's going on. A pickle on the ceiling. What is that?
We just saved all the believers $6,500.
Listen, it's a modern art, utter nonsense, right? What do you think in their mind that it represents? Oh, yeah, so the pickle on the ceiling, that is actually society looking down at us, sticking literally, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something. I can't think of an angle. But I can imagine them all sitting around. Oh, good eye, Mike. This is fucking amazing. It's amazing, Mike. That pickle on the ceiling, best piece of art I've ever bloody seen. What is the angle? What is it supposed to represent? Because art normally represents something. Can you look that up, Brian, while Harrington gives me the worst possible guest that we could ever hear.
No. I got art history major written all over me, right? So you think about it, right? A McDonald's hamburger, right? Probably the most ubiquitous thing in Western culture, right? Like, you know, in Douglas Adams' A Hitchhiker's Galaxy, the idea that the Earth is gone didn't make Arthur Dent shudder, but the fact that McDonald's was gone chilled him to the core. So a McDonald's hamburger pickle, right? The most garbage and easy food to eat in America, on the wall, the ceiling of an art gallery, looking down at all of these, you know, dilettantes going around and spending money on worthless nonsense like art, ashamed that they are reduced to this food while you are spending your money on art.
Don't tell me that you never Googled the representation of what that piece of art means, because you didn't just come up with that off the top of your head, because if you did, bravo, very good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll tell you this. I take the pickles off my burger.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't like it. My wife always comes along. She takes them off, you know. Not that I get burgers. If I do get a burger, it's always Chick-fil-A. There's a Chick-fil-A by my house. Chick-fil-A spicy sandwich. I'm starving, man. I haven't eaten all day. Did fasted cardio, 3 miles, 10 rounds of bad work, 15 minutes on the air, 300 sit-ups and a good stretch. I haven't eaten a goddamn thing. I'm starving. But there's a Chick-fil-A, DoorDash. It takes 15 minutes to get to my house. So in a moment of weakness, I can have that Chick-fil-A, that beautiful sandwich, delivered in no time whatsoever.
How about an hour of your time, Michael? What's that worth?
An hour of my time? Well, time is money, Harrington, as we know in this day and age. So I don't know what my hourly rate would be, but it's more than the cost of a few pickles.
Well, would you be willing to work for the cost of 5 Chick-fil-A sandwiches?
No, I wouldn't. So a Chick-fil-A sandwich is about $5. So that's, I mean, $25 an hour, you know, for an average guy isn't a bad going rate. But 5 sandwiches. Hold on. So what's going on? Is that actually a real thing?
Yeah, so a Chick-fil-A in North Carolina, they're doing like a new hyper drive-through thing, and it essentially just means they need more people taking orders on an iPad. So instead of like paying these people minimum wage or whatever for an hour to stand out there, they're saying, hey, come volunteer, hit some buttons on the iPad. We'll give you 5 chicken sandwiches to take home with you after your hour's done.
I think that's absolutely disgusting, to be quite frank. It's taking advantage of people that A, would be very hungry, and B, don't have a lot of opportunity or opportunities elsewhere. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. Chick-fil-A are a very, very successful franchise. They're hiring people and paying them in fucking burgers. You know, come on, it's not nice. And surely they could give more than that. They're a very, very religious company. They could take those 5 burgers and turn them into 5,000. You know what I mean? Jesus turned water into wine. 2 loaves of bread and a bottle of wine. Bosh, 5,000 fucking people. Come on, get quick with the burgers. Let's go. What, Brian?
If I'm not mistaken, it's a franchise. So it's not Chick-fil-A, the corporate office. It's some asshole who owns a Chick-fil-A.
Well, that asshole that owns that Chick-fil-A should be ashamed of himself. I don't like him. Taking advantage of people. Anyway, give me an MMA story, Harrington.
All right, let's see here. I have, I need to go between different tabs for notes. Dana White says that he thinks Paddy McGrady. I don't hate it. He believes pay-per-view bout in Boston or New York is next for him before bringing him to Las Vegas. Here's the quote. You can't talk about champion stuff right now. It's a little too soon, but he's got that Conor McGregor vibe. When he walks in the arena, the way the fans receive him, the way the media covers him, the way the people who search for content, I think we do next is we take him to either Boston or New York, and he ends up on pay-per-view. Then you bring him to Vegas.
Yep. And I fully agree. 100% agree. I mean, he does. It's been a meteorical rise. We all know this. We don't need to rehash it. The man is delivered on all accounts, because he was full of his own shit, shall we say, or full of his own hypes. And I'm going to be the new cash cow. I'm going to take over this sport. So far, he's doing that. So it makes sense. Next time, put him on pay-per-view. Talking to Robbie Fox, I believe, on Barstool Sports. I was watching that last night. And I mean, they're not going to do a fight in the UK probably for the rest of the year. So he's got to come over to the States anyway. New York, Madison Square Garden, that would be the perfect one. You know, he does have McGregor vibes. Simple as that. And McGregor and Paddy are in the same weight class. Could you imagine them two fighting each other one day? Holy shit, you know? Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, yeah, title talks, it's way off that, yeah. By the way, Paddy was supposed to join the podcast today. Shout out Paddy the Baddy. I just hit him up. I said, long shot, any chance you can jump on? He said, I'd love to. He said, but I'm going out tonight with my friends for some food and some drinks. I went, well deserved. He said, but if you're doing it early, I could do it. But it was a little bit too early. So hopefully we have Paddy joining us on Monday so we can talk about all this stuff. But I can't think of anyone other than Conor McGregor that has had such a meteoric rise.
And I mean, like, you know, to the point where I was, like I said, I was on the beach in Cape May with, you know, my girlfriend's family over the weekend. And I mentioned I was watching the UFC and three different people said, oh, Paddy's fighting today. They had no clue who the main event. They had no clue. Like he has definitely breached from beyond even the casual MMA fan to greater pop culture. And, you know, I think it is telling. He is on the way.
Hey, 100%. Who was Conor McGregor's first few fights? I know there was Marcus Brimage in there. Mm-hmm. Dustin Poirier, but that was a little bit later. But can you just bring up his record and see what his first few fights are? Because he's not fighting ranked guys, but he's only had three fights in the UFC. Way back when, in the early days, you know, when the roster was a lot smaller, you signed with the UFC, you were thrown into the deep end. Now it's, you know, there is a building phase. All right, so where is it? Okay.
Brimage.
Marcus Brimage, Max Holloway. Way before we knew the potential of Max Holloway, and then Diego Brandão. That was his first three. Diego Brandão, I think he was an Ultimate Fighter winner. Max Holloway, obviously, the legend, and Marcus Brimage. So, yeah, I mean, three decent opponents, to be fair. Who's it? Jordan Levitt, Luigi Vendramini, and who's the other one? Luigi Vendramini, Casula Vargas.
Oh, Casula Vargas.
Casula Vargas. Hey, he'll get a step-by-step upgrade. You know what I mean? As it goes, that's how it goes. And I hope he fills up, lives up to it, because he's fun. He's fucking brings a lot of entertainment to the screen.
And let's not forget, we've just seen the blueprint with Sean O'Malley here, right? Like a guy who goes from Dana White Contender Series, was fighting on fight nights. He gets the pay-per-view treatment, not against ranked fighters. And now he's, what, 3-4 years into his UFC career, and we're talking about giving him a ranked opponent. Like there is a way to bring these guys along, you know, and I think Paddy coming in with you know, much more, you know, much more of a background in the sport before getting here does push him a little bit further on down the line. But I see no issue with him fighting an unranked guy on a pay-per-view. I mean, that makes sense for him next.
100% it does. It makes sense for him. It makes sense for the company. It makes sense for the fans. Do you know what I mean? He does have that Conor McGregor vibe. Last Saturday in London, when the lights went out, the fucking lights, and then the walk-up music that he has is sick. I absolutely love it. So, yeah, well done in everything you've done, Paddy. Shout out. And hopefully we get you on the show on Monday with Anthony Smith after Anthony Smith is victorious. Tell me about what's going on in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, weird segue there. Don't
not all the things in Saudi Arabia.
What's that, Brian? Say again.
Said not all the things in Saudi Arabia, just this one particular thing.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're referring to, but go on.
Saudi Arabia is on the come up, dude. Saudi Arabia is kind of going to be the place to be in about 50 years.
Unless you're a woman.
Oh, then they might have figured that out by then.
Yeah, well, hopefully they do. I don't think they can drive out there. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't feel like...
Sounds like a safe place.
I don't feel like the religion's going anywhere, Mike.
No. The religion isn't going anywhere. And it's even worse in Afghanistan. The Taliban, fucking hell.
Really?
What do you mean, really?
The Taliban said they've got all the security concerns done. People can come back to Afghanistan. They said it should be a tourist destination pretty soon.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, sweet.
Let's listen to the fucking Taliban about where we should go on vacation.
When would they lie?
Pack your suitcase, get your sun cream. We're off to Kabul. Don't worry about those maniacs with turbans and face masks and machine guns and like really strict Sharia law, you know, that might shoot you. And if a woman shows a leg, she'll get a leg chopped off. Don't worry about that. We got lovely beaches. Oh, no, we don't. We got lovely cliffs with a lot of goats. Anyway, enough of that. Saudi Arabia, what's happening down there? Before we sound very xenophobic, I've been to Afghanistan, by the way. Beautiful country, lovely people. But the Taliban are doing some fucked up shit. Sue me. Go ahead.
So the world's longest skyscraper is being built in Saudi Arabia. They are calling it the $1 trillion mirror line. And I mean, when we're talking, it's a skyscraper. I mean, this is a city in the desert, Mike. This is incredible looking.
I saw a video of it. Brian, do we have anything we can play? Yeah, here we go. Is that just a still or is it a video? I saw a video on the news the other day.
Yeah, I'll find the video once.
Yeah, find the video, mate. It's unbelievable. It's like, what, 150 miles long, something like that. There's three different levels. One level is going to be just like streets, and then it's apartment complexes and buildings and leisure and parks and swimming pool. It's all completely sustainable, solar powered, no carbon emissions. I mean, it's what we are doing as a human race, you know, with the technology that we're discovering, and it's getting better and better all the time. It's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. You know, I mean, in our age, we have seen such a change, haven't we? I mean, I remember in the 90s having to go to the phone box to call up a bird. Do you know what I mean? And having to speak to our mum and dad. Hello, is Rebecca in? And I said, oh, it's fucking hell. I've got to speak to the mum and dad. Do you know what I mean? Now, text, no one does that. Internet. I mean, what else? Fucking hell, you name it. Jesus Christ.
Dude, I miss it because that used to be like the high point of praise in my life was that I was so polite on the phone when talking to parents. Like, you know, hi, Mrs. Smith, is Johnny available? Like, I always got compliments for that. And it stinks that my kids are never going to have that experience.
No, but that was always the hardest part, weren't it? You know, making that first phone call, because sending a text, you know, like if you get a girl's number, sending a text to someone's a lot easier than having the balls to have to call. And then the other person also has to have the confidence as well to answer and have a full-on conversation. But as I said, the first barrier is through the parents who might say, no, you're not welcome. All right, let's take a look at this thing.
I mean, this
imagine a traditional city and consolidating its footprint, designing to protect and enhance nature. The line will be home to 9 million residents and will be built with a footprint of just 34 square kilometers. And we are designing it to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life. The line's communities are organized in three dimensions. Residents have access to all their daily needs within 5-minute walk neighborhoods. And the line's infrastructure makes it possible to travel end to end in 20 minutes with no need for cars, resulting in zero carbon emissions. By leveraging AI technology, services are autonomous, saving you time and effort.
Wow.
Designed by world-leading architects, the line is 500 meters tall, 200 meters wide, 170 kilometers long, and housed within an elegant mirror glass facade. Intelligent solutions create efficiency and year-round temperate microclimate with natural ventilation.
All right.
Energy and water supplies.
Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's like some futuristic sci-fi stuff. That's like something you would see on in a sci-fi movie.
Judge Dredd, Mega City 1.
Yeah, no, it is though. It is. I mean, would you want to live there, Harrington? Because I got to say, it looks cool inside, but what if you want to go for a walk? You're going to die in the desert pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is like the ultimate, you know, like cityification, you know, like you can only like people in New York never want to leave New York, right? They never want to get out of here. So like the idea
that's
of having
a lie. That is a goddamn lie. That rat infested, smelly, flea infested cesspit of human integration. Of
it's what
mass
we know.
Population of smelly homeless people and hot dog stench. You know what I mean? Traffic and people beeping their horns constantly. No one ever wants to get out of there.
But I mean, like,
no one wants to go to the beach. No one wants to get a bit of sunshine. No one wants a bit of peace and tranquility. I get it. I love New York. It's great. It's a lot of fun. A weekend, though, boom, I'm done. Get me out of here.
There is something wildly Orwellian, though, about like everyone you know living within 20 minutes of you. You know what I mean? Like 9 million people living within 20 minutes of you. And if like that's such an easy area to surveil as well, you know? So like the security concerns there, I would never feel like I had any privacy.
No. Listen, I love New York. It's one of the coolest cities on the goddamn planet. But, you know, it was just that one statement you said. no one ever wants to leave New York. I'm like, that's a lie. But still, I tell you, that thing there in Saudi Arabia, the line, that is, it just makes your mind ponder, doesn't it? What are we as a species going to come up with next? It's just unbelievable. And that's going to be the future. Architecture like that, I think we're going to see more and more of that going forward. You know, in Singapore, incredible architecture as well, and a very, very modern, futuristic city. Yeah, it's great. Love it. Love it. Should we talk about some fights?
I am super excited for UFC 277.
Two idiots sitting here that know nothing about anything going on about the line in Saudi Arabia. They're like, Bisping, you know MMA. Let's get off it. Unless you want to talk about what else is in the non-MMA. We've got the pickle. We got the dinosaur bones. Hold on. A new discovery of dinosaur bones makes the possibility of the Loch Ness Monster somehow plausible. Well, go on then. You know, because George St. Pierre loves the dinosaurs. Go on. Tell me.
So essentially what they found, right, is that the dinosaurs that we most associate with, like, the long neck living, like, in the you know, in the seas, in, you know, the dinosaur ages, they're finding evidence now that after the meteor hit or whatever happened, they somehow adapted to fresh water, right? So meaning that these giant dinosaurs were able to, you know, move about from the sea into rivers and lakes and even locks, right? So there is a possibility that the monster in there is a dinosaur that has just survived adaptation of fresh water.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course. I mean, that is how evolution started, didn't it? It all started in the ocean. Intelligent life form slowly but surely came out of the ocean and onto dry land and evolved into everything we see here today. So that, I don't think that's anything new. That's not breaking news. Do you know what I mean? I'm not having a go at the paleontologists that did this probably very in-depth research that I'm totally dismissing. There is no Loch Ness monster. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it right now. There's no fucking, maybe Nessie is not around. Nessie might have been, well, a long, long time ago. There is no Nessie in the Loch Ness.
I don't know. I think you're going to have a lot of people from Scotland angry this episode now.
No. People from Scotland, they got more fucking better things to do with the team. They know there's no fucking Loch Ness. There's a Loch Ness. I've been there and it's very beautiful, but there ain't no Nessie. And all these weirdos and all these TV shows about it, just like the people looking for Bigfoot, Sasquatch, you know what I mean? That is more plausible, in my opinion, than Loch Ness monster.
I think we should put a bounty on it. If you can find us a picture of the Loch Ness Monster, you get a free Believe You Me mug.
No, what you can do is you can come and work for us and we'll pay you 5 Chick-fil-A sandwiches an hour. Okay? You get me a picture of the Loch Ness Monster. Brian, I'm sure you were going to say something worth saying there a second ago.
I was just going to say, they have found gigantic chimps. Like, this one that I just pulled up. Like, this thing is fucking huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is big. My dad is, I nicknamed him the human orangutan when he was out here recently because he's a huge chimp. He's got the big old belly. Like, he's orange. He's orange. He's got the saggy tits. He's got the fucking belly. And he just sits there smoking cigarettes all day long. I'm like, you're a fucking orangutan. The human orangutan. Drop him up in the Northwest Pacific, the forests of Oregon. And he gets spotted Sasquatch all day. Anyway. All right, rockauto.com. You know the deal by now. If you're working on a car, you need car parts. You want them easy. You want them delivered. And you want them at the best price possible. And that is what rockauto.com is offering. So if you know your way around our engine, or even if you don't, even if you just fancy having a go, you want to go to rockauto.com. You're not dealing with some salesman guy that's selling you stuff that you don't need, that's going to have the storefront markup. And then you get home and you realize it's not even the right thing, or you didn't even need to buy it. If you are a car guy or a car girl, you need to go to rockauto.com. I have no code for you because the prices are already ridiculously cheap. And that is one of the reasons why they have been in business for over 20 years. Because as I say, every single car part that you could possibly imagine that you could shake a shitty stick at, rockauto.com, well, they have it. That's all you got to do. Go to rockauto.com. But tell them that the Believe You Me podcast sent you because You know, it helps the show. Anyway, one more time, rockauto.com. Check it out. Get your parts at the cheapest possible prices. Very, very conveniently as well. No dealing with no dickheads. Rockauto.com. Let's get back into it. In fact, real quick, before we do, let's just talk about Alexander Volkanovski. He's planning to be the backup just in case of that big fight between Oliveira and Islam Makhachev, right?
Yeah, so he says it's contingent upon being fully healed and ready to go. He's not like declaring himself active and ready for competition by any stretch of the imagination, but he said he has been doing strength workouts. He says he should be able to get back to grappling inside of 6 weeks. And from 12 weeks from the time he got the injury, he should be ready to go, cleared for full contact. So that's, you know, 3 months out, which would put him in line if everything worked out in the right order for him to be able to go there and be the backup in October.
What was the injury?
It was a hand injury.
Right. Okay. All right, listen, it makes sense, doesn't it? You know what I mean? He wants to fight for the lightweight belt. I think Volkanovski is more than, you know, he deserves that shot, I think. He's going through a lot of people. He still has contenders. He still has Josh Emmer. He still has Yair Rodriguez, you know, but that's smart. Why not? I mean, I don't see Oliveira not making weight. What a stupid statement that is. It literally happened against Justin Gaethje. But come on. We're not going to see that happen twice in a row. A lot of the time, these backup fighters, it must be such a trip for them to go through an entire training camp, to show up on weight, make bloody weight, but then not get to fight. It just shows the desire for them to try and achieve something amazing, which is very impressive.
To also, you would have to, in theory, game plan for either opponent for that camp, which sounds insane to me.
You know, when I speak to a lot of these fighters now, you know, when we do the fighter meetings, they often say they don't really watch much tape. They just try and focus on themselves. They just try and get as best, be the best version of themselves that they can be, and then just let the chips fall. In fact, that's what Anthony Smith said on Tuesday. That's exactly what he said. Words to that effect. So, I mean, I get it. And if you're going to be the champ, you're going to be ready for all comers. It does help if you have a specific guy in mind that you can, you know, 100% game plan for their style. But ultimately, you know, when the referee says fight, you don't really know what's going to go down.
Yeah, but I mean, to Anthony's own point, though, still, he did say he had Division I wrestlers, heavyweights coming in and you know, trying to ragdoll him consistently, because I'm sure he's expecting that from Magomed, you know. So it's like, you know, like to envision either fighting Islam, where you're going to be, you know, wrestled to death, or envision fighting Oliveira, where you have to have a wild stand-up battle and then try to not get your neck taken. That sounds like two different kind of opponents you would bring into a training camp, no?
Yes and no, but look at it like this. If you're fighting Charles Oliveira, you want to kind of avoid the ground, so you're going to work on your wrestling defense. Fair. If you're fighting Islam Makhachev, you're going to work on your wrestling defense. If you hit the ground with either of them, you better make sure your submission defense is on point. You want to make sure your get-ups are on point. You want to make sure your striking's great, your cardio's good. So essentially, the game plans wouldn't be too different. Yeah, there might be different shot selection from either fighter. Some of them might kick more and, you know, little things like that. But essentially, a lot of the same work you would do would work for either man. But that is a great segue, because we were talking about Anthony Smith, and he is opening up the main card of UFC 277 this weekend against Magomed Ankalaev. Let's go around the room and see if anyone has the audacity, the rudeness, the barefaced cheek, the two-facedness to pick against Anthony Smith in this fight. I mean, I think it's obviously I'm picking Anthony Smith in this one. And I truly mean that. You know, he's really impressed me. The body of work that he's had, the amount of fights that he had, the experience, and how motivated he is. And, you know, we're joking about him swimming with dolphins and shit in Aruba. What he's doing there, in my opinion, is great, because, you know, he doesn't need to learn how to get ready for a fight. He's had over 50 professional fights. You're going to be dialed in and focused, but also having a little bit of a mental break between training sessions is really, really good for the mind. He's got great coaches around him, great training partners, brought in a lot of wrestlers, as you just mentioned before. And on the feet, he's very, very effective. Problem is, everything I just said there probably applies to Magomed Ankalaev. Okay, 17-1. That one loss, he was 1 second away from being undefeated. It's a tough fight. It's a really, really tough fight. I have Anthony winning. I'm sure he's going to pull through. I'm sure he's going to do it. But I think we're going to see some worrying moments if you're the cornerman of either guy.
I mean, to me, this fight always shocked me, right? When I saw this was Anthony Smith was almost a 4-1 underdog, my mind was blown.
Is that what he is?
He's one underdog. Plus 370, plus 350, something along those lines. I know I've had money on him for over a month that I've been like, man, I need this money to use in my life again, but I'm getting such a good price here. I can't say no to it. Anthony Smith, this should be a scratch fight on paper, for what Anthony brings to the table and what Magomed brings to the table. The fact that everybody is kind of counting out Anthony blows my mind in this one. I don't see the path to victory for Magomed Ankalaev, if I'm being honest.
Well, there is path to victories. I'm just looking at the reach and size of them both. Anthony's got a slight reach and height advantage, 6'4 to 6'3, 76 to 75. So not necessarily an advantage when it comes to an inch. You know, it's very, very close. He's going to have to watch the takedowns. He's going to have to watch the front kicks. Ankalaev is a complete threat. He isn't just a one-trick pony. He's not a Dagestani wrestler. You know, he's a very, very tough opponent. Anthony's got fantastic jiu-jitsu. If he ends up underneath, I know he's the strongest he's ever been as well. He's the sharpest he's ever been. He's got the weight of the believers in his mind. So his mind's the strongest ever. It's a tough fight, but I see Anthony winning. I wouldn't dare put that out in the universe. And I think maybe in round three, with as vicious as he is, he might get a stoppage. As I say again, that Ryan Spann fight. Ryan Spann's no walk in the park. Ryan Spann's legit, you know, and he took him out of there in absolutely devastating fashion. So let's go, Anthony. Let's go indeed. What do we have next? What's next, Brian? Harrington.
Alex Perez versus Alexander Pantoja.
Yeah, two flyweights on here. I mean, two flyweight fights on the main card. So the flyweight's now getting a big, getting a big spotlight, which is great because wasn't that long ago they were talking about maybe getting rid of the division.
Flyweights just had the fight of the night 2 weeks ago at UFC Long Island. Like, flyweights have definitely been holding their own and making a name for themselves in the promotion.
Pantoja recently beat Brandon Royval. Very, very fun fight that one was. And Manel Karp, who had a ton of hype when he came to the UFC. Of course, Alex Perez. I'm just looking at his record here. 24-6, last time out, lost to Davison Figueiredo in November 2021. That fight ended very quick, didn't really get going. It's a good fight. It's a fun fight. What do you think, Harrington? Who's your pick? And Brian, by the way, chime in.
I am going to go with Pantoja. I feel like this guy should have gotten the title shot probably before Brandon Moreno even. I can't remember the exact circumstances of why he didn't. But, I mean, this guy has been – he's been in the wings for a while, and I feel like he's the next man up in the division.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, that win over did he beat Royval? He did. He beat Royval. I just said that, didn't I? Yeah. I mean, Royval's no walk in the park. Royval's fantastic, and that was a super entertaining fight. So, yep, I've got him. Next fight, though, that who you got, right. Brian?
No, you guys nailed it.
Oh, exactly. It's one of those. If you're not hardcore, you don't know too much about those two, let's be honest. Flyweight's still not getting the attention that some of the other divisions. But a lot of great fights, a lot of great fighters, a lot of skill. But everything I just said there, eradicate that from your thoughts. Take the size of them, make them way bigger, way slower, but hit so fucking hard. Right? They're not as dynamic. They're not going to do somersaults as they walk in, but they are super fucking entertaining. Of course, I'm talking about Sergey Pavlovich taking on Derek the Black Beast Lewis. If you don't know Sergey Pavlovich, right, this guy.
Get ready.
Oh, my God, right? This guy hits bloody hard. Commentated his last fight in London, knocked him out in 4 minutes. Before that, he knocked out Maurice Green, Marcelo Gomes. Out of 15 wins, 12 knockouts, he has, ridiculous punching power. And I mean ridiculous. And that's why this fight's going to be so entertaining, because we all know what Derek Lewis brings to the table. I'll let you get in just a second. I do. Go on, Bri.
Oh, I was going to say, if Derek Lewis loses this fight, I mean, where does that put him in the division? Is he going to be like the Mark Hunt, like never going to get a title fight, but just going to be the guy who is the gatekeeper?
Derrick Lewis is such a fan favorite. People love him. He's awesome. He is. He's got a great sense of humor. Fights his ass off. He's just struggling a bit lately. And the problem for him is, in this one, it's in Texas again, right? He fought Cyril Garn in Houston, hometown. A lot of nerves. When he walked out, I was like, shit, this doesn't look good. Then he beats Chris Dawkins, knocks him out against the fence. Fights Taito Uwasa in Houston, Texas, once again in his backyard, and gets face planted, gets caught. It was a very entertaining fight. Crowd was going absolutely wild, but then gets caught with an elbow and face plants unconscious. Now he's coming back to Texas again with all that pressure, with all that, you know, yeah, pressure. I mean, that's it. He wants to live up to the moment. He wants to give his home people something to be happy about, celebrate. But that is a gift and a curse. It's a mental pressure. And he's got a guy very capable of knocking him out.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Sergey is capable of knocking out, you know, a piece of granite. The guy hits like a freight train. I just looked up Derrick Lewis, 1-0 so far in his fights in Dallas. He had one fight in Legacy. So, I mean, maybe it's far enough away from the hometown. It's like a 6 or 7 hour drive. Not all your friends and family are going to come. You only got to worry about tickets for like 8 people instead of 80. You know, that could maybe help him out. This is an odd fight because, you know, until Taito Uwasa came along, in my mind, none of these super, like, hard-punching guys who are ready to get into a brawl and go to war with Derrick Lewis were going to win, right? We saw it with Dawkins in the fight before Uwasa, right? So now I see somebody like Spivak who's coming in who's like, I'm just going to keep throwing bombs at you, and Derrick Lewis has to stand there and counter with his devastating shots. Like, I just saw somebody beat Derrick Lewis with that style, and that kind of makes me lean towards Spivak just a little bit.
Yeah. And listen, I totally get that. I understand why you'd say that, and it's perfectly understandable. The thing is, you know, Texas, I mean, it's a big place, isn't it? I'm sure people in Texas are used to doing very, very long drives. Yes, it's not Houston, but, you know, come on. If I lived in Texas and I was fighting in Dallas and all my mates were like, nah, man, that's too far for me to fucking drive. I'm going to sit here on my horse and my guitar and watch it on the telebox. No, I'd be like, fucking prick, get yourself down there. Not only that, he's coming back from a bad knockout. I love Derrick Lewis. Honestly, I do. I love watching him fight. He's so exciting. I love his style. I love him as a person. If you follow him on social media, he's a really good guy. He's always helping people out. You know, remember there was that time, all the floods, and he pulled up with his truck. He was rescuing people. He's just a good dude. He's funny. He's a great fighter. But psychologically, coming back from knockouts like that is very, very hard. I'm not saying he can't win. I'm saying it's going to be hard. I'm saying it's a tough matchup as well. What do you think? Who wins?
I mean, here's the thing. It's the kind of fight I think Derrick Lewis is looking for, right? Like somebody who's going to come forward, come at him, put constant. Because Derrick Lewis, I mean, you remember the Curtis Blaydes fight. He just stood there like a Mortal Kombat character until Blaydes shot. And then, boom, precise precision uppercut. Like, to me, this guy coming forward and swinging for the fences is exactly what Derrick Lewis is hoping for. I just don't have the faith that he is necessarily going to stop this guy. Because I've seen this dude land heavy, heavy shots on his last three opponents. Granted, not nearly the level of Derrick Lewis, but, you know, like I said, after the tie fight.
I'm just looking at the record of Derrick Lewis, and shockingly enough, 26 wins, 21 knockouts. There you go. That's the power. 9 losses, 6 of them knockouts. You know, she's been knocked out 6 times. That's quite a lot, you know. And how old is he? Hold on, let me just look that up. He is coming into this one. He will be 37 years old. So still a good age for the heavyweight division.
And when that's prime for heavyweight.
Yeah, no, it is. It really is. And when you look at it, I mean, Taito Uwasa, tremendous fighter. Crazy to think that Taito Uwasa one day could be fighting for a belt, right? You maybe wouldn't have thought that a while ago, but he's got so much better. Cyril Garn just fought for a belt. The other people to beat him, former champion Junior Dos Santos. Before that, Daniel Cormier, double champ, of course. And before that one, Mark Hunt back in 2017. And then on the regional, Wow. Oh, it's all the way down the bottom. Sean Jordan knocked him out. Matt Mitrione knocked him out. Wow. Yeah. I don't even want to say it, but I've got a bad feeling for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. Derek, don't hate me, but I'm seeing Sergei Pavlovich. Moving on quick. Flyweights. Don't give a fuck what they think. They're going to come knock me out. No. I love Derek Lewis. Let's go, the Black Beast.
I was going to say, did you see he called John Morgan a blueberry?
No, what?
A blueberry muffin?
I saw there was a bit of bullshit. Go on, break it down. Oh, do we have video?
I believe we do have a video, but yeah, I can give you the bullet points if you want them.
Mm.
So basically, Derek Lewis was complimenting John Morgan in a very backhanded style, right? He's like, you know, it looks like you're losing weight. I can almost start to see a neck there. Like you look good. And like, he seemed like he was trying to be playful and nice to John, but he did point out that he was wearing a black shirt, which makes it slimming. And maybe it's when he's in the blue that he normally looks like a blueberry muffin.
Oh God. Oh God. John Morgan does always wear that blue shirt. I'm glad to see that he's mixing things up. You know what I mean? And Black is very slimming. Maybe because who was it? Someone had a go at him recently for being a little overweight. Who was that?
I think it was Colby.
Colby
was like, do push-ups and I'll answer your question or something.
That's right. That's right. Colby, John, do not let these people fat shame you. You don't have to wear black because it's very slimming, says the man wearing a black shirt. It's just my color. Anyway, Brandon Moreno, Kai Kara France. Is this for an interim belt or is it just the number one contender?
No, interim title fight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's two rematches for titles at the top of the card.
Yeah. Kai Kara France looking great lately. Knockout power, all coming together. Brandon Moreno, sensational. If you saw those fights with Figueiredo, they were both incredible performances. The one that he beat him was sensational. Well, they fought three times now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and all three were great fights.
Yeah, you got a draw and then one each.
Yeah, it's a tough one, this, to pick. It really is.
I don't think it is. I think Brandon Moreno is the main character wherever he is. You know, I really do. I think he's just going to come in and fucking win this one.
I think you might be right. You can't underestimate Kara France. But I'm kind of with Brian there. What I've seen from Brandon Moreno has impressed me so much. Same with France, but I've just been more impressed with Kai Kara France. Sorry, Brandon Moreno. I'm going Moreno.
Okay. I was just trying to look up the stats for their first fight. But I mean, you know, you look at Kai Kara France, since he joined the UFC, he has a loss to Brandon Moreno and a loss to Brandon Royval, where he got caught in a guillotine choke. I mean, it can happen to anyone. My question is, Brandon Moreno has fought Davison Figueiredo three times in a row right now. Is it possible that they are just... like they're the perfect opponents for each other, right? And they just bring out the most electrifying style. Like there's a chance that this new opponent coming in, Kai Kara France, who is on, you know, a heater himself. There's something about it to me that thinks maybe he can get the job done, steal this one on points.
Hey, maybe he can. Maybe he can knock him out as well. He's got knockout power. He's shown that. I mean, it's very, very close. It's very, very close. Right, main event. Main event. I'm excited for this one. Juliana Pena, Amanda Nunes. You mentioned before the Ultimate Fighter thing that we did, you know, the tough champs. And Juliana Pena was great. She was awesome company. She had a great attitude, good sense of humor. She's ferocious in the ring, you know, and she won that fight fair and square last time against Nunes. She stood with her toe-to-toe after a tough first round, which mentally isn't easy to do. You know, when you have a tough opening round, to put that behind you and go out there and still fight confidently, not everyone can do that. Pena did that. She stood toe-to-toe, and she beat Nunes fair and square. Now, there's a lot of storylines, right? COVID. She had long COVID. She wasn't well. She didn't feel good. The conditioning wasn't there. Maybe she took her for granted. Maybe she was complacent. All that things, these things. If that's the case, that's her fault, right? I don't care about any of that stuff. If this COVID business, right, and I don't know if it's a real thing, but people say that it is, that could be a reason, because she was by far the better fighter in round one. But round two, she got tired. And Pena beat her fair and square. So she deserves to be the champ. I just don't know if it's going to go down the same way this time.
That's interesting. Because, I mean, I've been thinking about this fight like along the lines of Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva, right? Where we saw like the shocking upset the first time out. And it's like, in my mind, oh, I mean, Anderson Silva is going to wipe the floor with Chris Weidman in the rematch. Like not really knowing too much, like that in my mind was like, oh, Silva wasn't taking this seriously. He overestimated his opponent, whatever the case may be. And I was wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, it ended in obviously in a freak injury, but it's like, you know, to me, like once you lose that, like that kind of, once you lose a fight as the GOAT, it's kind of hard to come back unless your name is GSP.
Well, the thing is though, for Amanda Nunes, the reality is she's lost quite a few fights. So it's not like this is new territory for her. You know, but you do have to ask a question. I mean, how old is she? I'm not sure, but she's been around a long time, been in the UFC, made a lot of money, you know, had a lot of doors open to her, a lot of opportunities, still a 45-pound champion, you know. So is she slowing down? Is she stepping off the gas, you know? We don't 34. Know. 34 years old, you know. Not old at all in any stretch of your imagination. Went on a, Jesus Christ, look at this win streak. 21-5, beat Megan Anderson, Felicia Spencer, Jermaine Durandamy, Holly Holm, Chris Cyborg. What a fight that was. Raquel Pennington, Shevchenko, Rousey, Misha Tate, Shevchenko, Sarah McMahon, Shayna Baszler. Before that, lost to Kat Zingano. You know how she lost to Kat Zingano?
Elbow?
Going out there, oh, dominating her for the first round and then getting finished in the second because she was tired. And that's kind of something that used to haunt her and she was known for, you know, but then it seems she got that figured out. So maybe she
certainly, I was going to say that third round with Valentina, right? Where everybody was calling for the rematch because Valentina was dominating her as the bell was at the end of that fight.
Yeah. I think Nunes, just from what we saw in that first round, I think she looked so much better. And I feel bad for saying that because I'm not trying to take away from the winner for Juliana Pena because that's a bit of a dick move to do so. I don't think it was a fluke. I think she beat her fair and square. But I think Nunes comes back and she gets the win. And new baby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I also want to see what this new camp is, right? Because this is her first time fighting anywhere but ATT, right? Yep. So I want to see what the corner's going to look like. I want to see what her conditioning is going to look like without coaches to like, she's running the show now, right? And traditionally, to me, like, you know, I'm picturing late stage Joanna Jędrzejczyk, right? Like, I think she was running the show for herself towards the end there. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, there is something to me about somebody who's young, who's hungry, who believes that this is their time to be on top of the mountain. I think Juliana could get it done on Saturday.
All right. Well, you got to shave your beard.
No, I'm putting the beard up for this one. What are you putting up? You gonna give me the Tesla?
That's fair.
A Tesla versus the beard. I'll do
right,
that.
Deal. All right.
Shut up, Harrington.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Now we're gonna do some questions for you. Of course, you know the deal. If you got some, send them into bynpod@gmail.com. We've got three good questions for you all today, so please send them in. Positive vibes for Anthony Smith this weekend. What a guy. So excited for him. And we'll talk to him on Monday, Harrington.
I'm so excited. This is going to be dope. I can't wait for the call out. If you are enjoying this show and watching on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the show and you click that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And while we're here, hit that like button right here. If you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out 20 great shows on the network.
All right. Brian, what do we have today?
All right. So first, we have a question from a Mr. Kyle Wilson, who has a legitimate question and then a gripe it seems like he's been holding on to for quite some time.
All right. Well, let's check it out.
Hi. Question for Mike and for Anthony. I have a 3-year-old son and a 4-day-old daughter. Any tips for getting your kids involved in martial arts without forcing them into it? Just want to sprinkle them seeds. So hopefully they do it for a bit of self-defense, fitness, etc. And also, because I have just had a daughter, any tips for raising a daughter versus raising a boy? Cheers. Mm. Just to follow up, fuck you, Harrington. I was trying to pimp my dog out to Alfie on the Bitchula. I sent in a video, which he didn't play. And in the first frame, it made my dog look shit, made me look shit. I got taken the piss out of. Biz Bing said it looked like my dog being raped by the cast of 101 Dalmatians. So fuck you too, Biz Bing. I'm an Anthony Smith fan now.
Wow. Well, it's all right, mate. Just feel free to go fuck yourself. But maybe your dog, it was an ugly little mutt.
Sorry your dog got ran through, dude.
You know, it looked like it got raped from the cast of 101 Dalmatians. I don't remember saying that, but that's a pretty funny line if I do say so myself. Anyway, a lot of built-up anger there, my friend. Right, what was his first question?
How long ago was The Bachelor?
It was years ago. It was like 5 years ago or something crazy. Got to do another season of that. Shout out, Alfie. What was his first question? I know there was raising a daughter. Oh, how do you get kids into martial arts? You can't force them. You cannot force your children to do it. I kind of do. I've told Lucas in our house, listen, because he doesn't really do a lot of sport. You know what I mean? He does jiu-jitsu. He enjoys it. He loves wrestling. He doesn't love jiu-jitsu, but he does, you know, he does enjoy it. Enjoys the kickboxing as well. But if you really don't like it, you can't force them to do it. You just have to find something else. But try and inspire them. Try and show them, you know, a movie or something. You know, movies are a good choice, you know, where they see it and they think it's cool. If they're young, you know, and they want to try it, they'll make friends. You know, take them down there, show them that it's not such a mean environment. It's not, there's no pressure on them to perform. They're going to make friends. They're going to have a great time. I just think you're just going to show them the door, you know. Taking them down there to the gym and the dojo and see what happens. More than likely, if they're a good school, if it's a good family program, they will have an amazing time. So just strongly encourage them. Failing that, bribe them. I find that, you know, the promise of a little toy, maybe a new game, maybe a trip, you know. Failing that, slap them around the face and say, get your fucking ass down there. It's not a democracy. It's my house. You're doing martial arts and that's that.
Yeah, and then you could also just have a couple of drinks and wrestle him, right? Yeah, your kid will have to learn self-defense.
100%.
What's the movie? What's the movie that got you into it when you were a kid? Like, what's the first martial arts thing you remember seeing? Like, damn, I want to be good at this.
Yeah. Well, Van Damme movies, for sure. I remember all the American Ninja movies in the 80s. Some Bruce Lee stuff as well. Enter the Dragon, I love that one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, my God. They were a big one for me, you know, as embarrassing as that is. But Kickboxer with Van Damme. My dad got me that on VHS for my 10th birthday. I watched that so many times, and I was so inspired. And then Bloodsport, of course, and then there was AWOL. I think you guys had a different name. Lionheart, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we called it AWOL for some reason in the UK. But yeah, all those movies from Van Damme, they were starting getting a little... went downhill a bit after that. But yeah, all of them. That was it. I wanted to do that.
How disappointed were you when you found out who Frank Dukes actually was?
Yeah, total dickhead, you mean? Yeah, Frank Dukes is a total dickhead. Yeah, no, he is. Because I did a video on my YouTube channel, Brian. The fake martial artists. You know what I mean? I think we had
like
Frank
Dillman
Dukes.
And Frank Dukes. And
we had
all
Frank
those dudes.
Dukes at number one because the stuff that he would come out with, the lies is just unreal. But then he came on some other YouTube channel, started talking a bunch of shit, challenging me and all kinds of stuff, saying he beat
you
me up in a fight. Yeah, all right, Frank. Raising a daughter, you just got to love him. Just got to love him, you know. You can't be overbearing. You can't. You just got to love it. People think it's going to be some problem, you know, that, oh, I'm nervous or whatever. It's the most natural thing on the planet. You will love them dearly, and that's all you need. Let the love lead the way. Let the love light the way, Harrington. There we go.
It is cool, too. You have, like, an older son, then a younger daughter, then a younger son. So you have the experience of, like, having the oldest being the boy to look out and then the for Lucas to look up to Ellie. That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I don't know if Lucas looks up to Ellie. But still, I don't know. She's a girl. Do you know what I mean? She looks up to Callum. I'm sure she does in some weird way. Not a weird way, in some way. Brian, what else?
All right, we have a member of your extended family here from Mr. Lok Chan.
Oh, Lok Chan. Wow. Oh,
what's up, guys? This is Lok from Hong Kong. Love the podcast. Been following since pretty much day one, and I love Herringbone, Brian, and Anthony Smith. So awesome, Bisping. As for my serious question, if there were a zombie apocalypse to occur and you're only allowed to bring 3 items, what would you bring? This is for all 4 of you. And if Anthony Smith, you're not there, I wish you all the best for the fight against Ankalaev, and I'm looking forward to another champ being on the podcast.
All right. I thought there was going to be something else.
I think he had a silly question he cut off.
There was so much more.
You just couldn't allow it, Brian.
He was telling a funny story about the other day.
Ah, okay. We don't have time for funny stories from our brethren in Hong Kong. Love Hong Kong, by the way. Three items, zombie apocalypse. It's going to have to be a gun, isn't it? Let's be honest. A gun, a spear, you know, a sword, a katana, a samurai sword. What, Brian?
You bring an all-purpose utility shovel, the one with the saw, that hatchet, and the other, like, so you can cut wood, you can do all that other stuff. Bring some rope, and you bring something that you can hit things on the head with.
Why do you want the rope?
You
always need some rope.
But why? We're not going out into the woods. We're not surviving.
You might be.
Why do you need rope? You always need rope.
I live in Los Angeles, okay? Why?
Not anymore.
A
zombie apocalypse happens, Mike.
Tell me why you need rope.
For a multitude of reasons. It can help you build shelter. It's a tool to pick things up that are out of your reach.
That's like, okay. I'm going to go down there with my fucking baseball bat. That's going to be one of them as well for taking people's heads off. Smash the window at Dick's Sporting Goods. It's a zombie apocalypse. You know,
You set traps for food in 3 weeks when all your shit you stole from Dick's is bad?
Nah, man. Nah, I'll be straight down to Ralph's, break in there, you know, fucking get some free food. A samurai sword, just like in Pulp Fiction. Isn't that the best scene ever? He sees the chainsaw, then he sees something else, and he's like, ooh, that's the one. That's the one. I don't fucking know.
So what guns make noise. Like, guns make noise. So I think you're right with the sword.
Yeah,
fuck you. You don't want to draw more zombies anyway.
I don't want the guns. A coffee machine.
He's British. They're allergic to guns.
Yeah, but they've run out of bullets though.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking dab hand with a samurai sword, I'll tell you that.
I think I'd go Louisville Slugger baseball bat, like a nice big aluminum one. Yeah, something for water purification. And then I don't know.
Anyway, I'm so hungry. I am so hungry. We got time for one more question, boys and girls.
All right, we got one more question. This guy didn't leave his name, so I'm just going to call him the super high guy.
Nice. Oh. My man.
Ooh, what's up? Hope you guys are having an excellent fucking week.
Excellent.
So here's what I want to know. Do y'all think Patty's stock could rise enough that they give him the push, give him a number one contenders fight or a title fight before he's actually ready for it, a la Sugar Sean? Not just saying Sean's going to have a hard time with Peter, but there's probably some dudes in the division that would give him a pretty hard time if he had to have gone through them first. And then if they do, does Patty need to leave Liverpool to become a champion?
Ooh. All right. It's a long way off for any of those situations yet. You know, I'm not sure how many fights O'Malley's had, but it's quite a few. You know, he stepped up. He's on a good win streak, 3 knockouts in a row. Fought Pedro Munoz, first time fighting a ranked guy, didn't go his way. I thought he lost the first round, though, but I love Sean. He's a fucking amazing guy. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people versus Piotr Jan. If he can keep the distance and maintain range and pick him apart like a sniper, you never know. We could have a big upset on our hands. For Paddy, he's so popular. You know, if he can just continue winning, he's not going to walk into a title fight, but I think he'll walk into a really, really big showcase fight that could potentially be a number one contender. You know what I mean? Simple as that. If the demand is there and the performances are there, and they're going to take the time with him, of course they are. And then what was the second part?
Does he need to leave Liverpool to become a champion?
No, you don't need to. You don't need. Listen, you got to do what you have to. You've got to make the sacrifices to achieve what you want to achieve, right? That doesn't mean leaving Liverpool. If he's getting what he needs, he doesn't need to do that. It's when you're not getting what you need at your current place that you have to go leave somewhere. Like I left my team. You know what I mean? I didn't have a team. And at that time, there wasn't too many teams in the UK. I had resources in the States. So that's why I came over. And I had the work visa, it made sense. My wife was Australian as well. She was kind of miserable in the UK. If he has everything he needs, if he has the training partners, if he has the coaches, I know they have great jiu-jitsu. They have good wrestling there as well. Of course, fantastic striking. So I don't think so. No. But if the team falls apart and he's not getting what he needs there, he might not need to leave Liverpool, well, or leave the country, but he might have to leave Liverpool. We'll see. I don't know. Hypotheticals, bro. Hypotheticals.
So do you think it like makes sense if a fighter, like, you know, like until a fighter loses a fight, stick with the same camp? Because like that's what got you there?
Well, loyalty is important, you know? And if you're winning every single fight, it's a tough one because just because you're winning every fight doesn't mean you're getting what you need. You know what I'm saying? It does not mean that at all. You know, like when I had my first fight in the UFC, I was undefeated. I won my first fight in the UFC, but my team didn't even come. You know what I mean? They weren't even there. You know, they didn't even show up. They lied to me every single day and said, yeah, we'll be there tomorrow. We'll be there tomorrow. And they never came. You know, so just because you're winning doesn't mean everything's hunky-dory. If everything's not hunky-dory, then you got to go. Okay. Speaking of gotten to go, I've got to go. We got to get out of here. Guys, we appreciate you. Hamilton, good job today, my friend.
Dude, fun time. Honor and a pleasure as always. Thanks, Mike.
Always a pleasure. Brian, of course, you are the man. Guys, enjoy your weekends. Have fun. Subscribe and ring the bell if you haven't done so. See you on a Monday. Hopefully with a very, very victorious Anthony Smith. Pray the gods.
Oh, he's going to win.
Oh, yes. Let's go. Let's go. Have a good weekend, guys. All the best.